chairman of Ways and Means, a man very familiar with harrowing situations, but one was a natural disaster and challenge, Kevin Brady in Texas. Chairman, welcome. Do you ever remember a time in which there's been so many challenges in America, natural and man-made?
Yeah, no, Brian, I really haven't. It was, look, we got tens of thousands of families still don't know where they're going to live or if they're going to get a job back. But then Monday morning was just like a kick in the gut when we all woke up and saw this had happened. And one point you make so beautifully is, look, let's get the facts here. Let's find out what motivated this shooter. You know, let's address that type of issue rather than just watching, just reacting, same knee-jerk reaction as they do for every one of these shooting issues. And so, look, I think it's really important us to understand what motivated this shooter. And again, what we can do back home, whether it's blood drives, prayers, others to help. I can't imagine those 500-plus victims are still fighting for their lives. So there are things we can do now to help them.
So far, they are looking to Congress to help. I'm listening to the late-night talk show hosts or the evangelists now. They used to be humorous and interesting. I understand it's hard to be funny after tragedies like this. But listen to this. Cut 21.
This afternoon, the president called this an act of pure evil, and I think he's right. So what then are we willing to do to combat pure evil? You want to make America great again? Do something the last two presidents haven't been able to do. Pass any kind of common sense gun control legislation that the vast majority of Americans want.
What do you think would be common sense gun control legislation? Because that's what a lot of people, Democrats and left-leaning talk show hosts, want you to do.
Well, Brian, I know this. I didn't move to Washington. I live in Texas, where we have nearly 1 million Texans with concealed handgun licenses. I work in Washington, D.C., which is a gun-free zone. Guess where I feel safer? It's back home in Texas, for my kids, for my family. And so I know what not to do, which is to invite more violence and to make it tougher for, you know, hardworking Americans to feel safe in their neighborhood and their home. And so that's why, you know, I reject those calls. They are exactly the wrong action to take.
When you guys sit around, and, you know, I don't know what they expect legislators in government to solve everything all the time. It's just not logical. It's not right. But in the big picture, is there something do you think is behind the rash of mass shootings that we've been experiencing lately? Now, whether you think it's all guns or nothing to do with guns, we got to stop that. We agree with it. Is there anything that you think is the stem of all of it?
You know, I think the one thing, terrorism continues to drive many of these attacks. There's no question about it here in America and around the world. That doesn't seem to be the case here. And, you know, the mental illness, which has just been so prevalent in all of this, doesn't, at least at this point, appear to be the case, which is why your point at the beginning is so critical. You know, look, you got to solve the problem, you have to understand it. And we don't know what drove this guy going forward, but I think the key thing is to not react in a way that makes the situation worse.
Well, you're chairman of Ways and Means, and you've been buried in the books and trying to get everybody on the same page in the House, in the Senate, and the White House. So you release a rough outline, some of the highlights of it. Instead of seven different categories when it comes to filing your taxes, we're down to three. It looks like you're going to be cutting the top rate from 39 to 35. The middle rate and the lower rate also will be cut. You're also going to eliminate a lot of deductions, including state and local deductions, which tick off some Republicans in big states like New York and Peter King. Rand Paul weighed in over the weekend and said, hey, I looked at this study by this Brookings Institute, and it says middle class is going to pay a tax increase. I'm not going along with this. How do you get control of this narrative and further define what you're looking to do?
Yeah, so last week was important for Americans who've been waiting 31 years for Congress to act to fix this broken tax code. Having the president, the House and the Senate on the same page, incredibly important. Brian, this week we take another significant step because we're moving to pass the budget, which, look, no budget, no tax reform. That gives us the runway to land tax reform on. And unlike health care, you know, when that budget is signed, sealed, delivered, then we'll move tax reform. That's critically important. And by the way, that Brookings study is so bogus. It's been discredited about 10 minutes after it was put in place. In fact, they're the same group that savaged Rand Paul's own tax reform plan when he was running for the Senate. So the bottom line is, look, if 95% of Americans can file their taxes using a simple postcard-style system, if we lower the taxes at every level, drive up paychecks, and actually make sure American companies of all sizes keep more of what they earn and redesign the code so they can compete and win anywhere in the world, including here at home, we'll have done what Ronald Reagan did and created the growth and the paychecks the country deserves.
Peter Marici was on. He tends to be a conservative economist from the University of Maryland, and he said he hates the idea of getting rid of the death tax. He said unearned wealth kills America. That's not what the forefathers want. What do you say?
Hey, man, he should talk to some of our people. Pat Snuck in Cold Spring, Texas, her family's had to go to the bank three times to borrow money to pay the death tax just to keep her own family farm. And we've got Roy Morton, who's got a Conroe Welding Supplies, worked 40 years with his brother and his uncle to build up a nest egg for his family. Now his son and grandson work there. And his point is this: he may lose four of the five shops he has because of the death tax. And his point to me was, look, I didn't work all these years for the government. I work for my – this is for my family. And so, look, the super wealthy don't pay that tax. They've got legions of accountants and foundations and all that. Look, it is family-owned businesses and farms who get hammered. It's an immoral tax.
So this Brookings policy is the Brookings Tax Policy Center, TPC. They analyzed and they said by 2027, almost 30% of taxpayers whose income tax between 50 and 150 would see their taxes increase under this framework that the White House put forward. And a total of about 25% of taxpayers would see higher tax rates under the GOP's plan by 2027. What's your react? What don't you like about that study?
Yeah, it's baloney. One, because it's all unfounded. They don't even know what the income brackets are when those lower rates kick in. They don't know what the child tax credit will be, which is larger. And they don't recognize the tax reform grows the economy and paycheck. I mean, they're that stuck in that liberal mindset. And so I describe that study as a work of fiction that Stephen King would be proud of, because we're going to drive a major middle-class tax cut. There's an estimate that wages for a family of four could grow by $5,000 by getting this economy going. And so that's what we're focused on.
So it's very hard. It's much harder to find a tax cut for people who pay very little tax. So to no fault of their own, in many cases, some people are making it out. They're 29 years old or 39, or they're in a situation where they're not getting, they don't have a big paycheck. So if they're not paying much taxes, it's hard to make them feel any type of tax relief. How do you approach that challenge?
Yeah, so when we do mirror what Ronald Reagan did, which was we take that lowest rate 10%, we turn it into zero. We double the standard deduction, which means, Brian, we're going to protect more of the first dollars that families earn. That's really important to young people starting out. So we've got teenage boys, middle-class families pinching every penny, or folks retiring, really critical about that. But at the end of the day, this really comes down to a fair, flatter, simpler tax system that actually respects your time and your work effort,
right,
and grows paychecks. Because, look, if we can get young people, folks who haven't had a shot at a decent raise in a long time, we get them more money in their pocket. They keep more of what they earn. Look, they've got new opportunities they don't have under this really slow slow growth Obama type of recovery we're trying to get out of.
I watched Senator Corker over the weekend, and he says, listen, I'm a deficit hawk. If this adds one penny to the deficit, I can't go along with it. Do you going to reach out to Senator Corker, who now is going to be calling it quits in a year, and see if he's going to be on board?
Yeah, so to his credit, he's helping shape the Senate budget that allow us to go big and bold on tax reform. And look, at the end of the day, I think tax reform ought to move us toward a balanced budget. You get people back to work, you get growth, there's no question it's going to help us at the federal level balance the budget. The other thing that does, by balancing this over time, we can make as much of this permanent, so our businesses can start thinking now about bringing, instead of moving jobs overseas and research and patents and headquarters, doing just the opposite, creating that giant sucking sound back toward America. So, look, I get his point. We're driving toward the same goal.
So I look at dynamic scoring, and I'm under the belief, but I'm not burdened with a master's degree in economics. But I always thought
you
that
and
if
me
you,
both, Brian.
Thank you. So what I always try to do is if I give the most productive, productive, ambitious people more of their money, for whether it's Elon Musk or whether it's the CEO, or whether it's the CEO of Godfather's Pizza, if you give them more money, those corporations more money, they tend to grow their business, hire more people, and then if I'm in that business, I have an opportunity to grow, learn, and further my own career. It makes logical sense. But in terms of having that figure into your estimate, they do this thing called dynamic scoring. Potential income growth with your tax cuts in place. So it's a little bit too much hope to detractors and not enough empirical proof for your supporters to go against those detractors. It goes back to the rich Republicans are giving rich rich supporters a tax break. How do you combat that?
Yeah, let's start with that first point because you made it beautifully. Look, Democrats oppose dynamic scoring. That is real world impacts from a much better tax code. But you know they use it on their immigration bill that they passed out of the Senate. Dynamic scoring. They're using it to make the case for DACA and Dreamers. They agreed with it on how we need to make the research and development tax credit permanent. So they're kind of selective about dynamic scoring. They like it on their priorities. They refute it on ours, like getting this economy going, even though it was President John F. Kennedy and President Ronald Reagan working with the Democrat Congress. They proved you get the tax code right, you know, economy boom, state and local governments get more resources, you know, jobs and paychecks grow. And so, look, we're Republicans. We know letting people keep more of what they earn in our local businesses, be able to send less to Washington, invest more in their workers and in their business grows the economy. We shouldn't be afraid of making that case.
And I'm Chuck, just finally, Chairman of Ways and Means, Kevin Brady, one more minute.
Yes,
Chairman, you know you could have the best plan in the world, but you got to know how to sell it and combat the people that are looking to destroy you. With health care, you could argue that it looked like you were taking health care away from the people that needed it most. And Democrats were effective in getting that message out over the Republican plan. Now you have to combat a very predictable attack. It's for the rich. This is all about the rich. Unless you get the communications with your plan, you're going to end up with a very unpopular plan, maybe undeservingly, because the communications and the marketing have to go along with the actual program. Don't you agree? And have you done anything for that?
Yes, I so agree. And here, I think one of the key differences with healthcare, look, the country was genuinely or is genuinely divided whether Obamacare works for them or not. I believe it doesn't. But there is no one defending this current tax code, which was a poll showed in a poll last week that said 9 out of 10 Americans say Congress should act now to fix their broken tax code. Most of them believe it will help them. And most, surprisingly, say their lawmaker should work with President Trump to get this done. And so my goal is to unify our Republicans. We are continuing to outreach our Democrats behind the president's plan and get this thing done this year.
You got it. Chairman of Ways and Means, Kevin Brady, we'll talk to you again. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Brian. Take care.